located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. We have a very, 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 very important and special show for you right now, which is kicking off the next 24 hours here on the air at CITR. I'm here with a couple of people. Maybe we can say hello and say who we are. I'm Valley, and I am the programming student executive here at CITR, and I am accompanied by...
Hi, this is Violet, and I am the spoken word student exec here at CITR. Very excited to be here the 24-hour student power exec kickoff. Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
And we are also here with...
Tristan, I'm the student events executive alongside Maria, who will eventually show up. but yeah, it's great to be here. I kind of just joined impromptu with
them.
Of course,
them, wonderful. Yeah. We're very, very happy to have you.
Thank you.
More than merrier, honestly.
Yeah, I'm so excited to start off this event. We've been working real hard to fill up these 24 hours of all student-led programming. And we have some really exciting stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. It's midnight to midnight this year, which is a little bit different from most years, but super exciting. I think it's a fun way to do it. And Valley and I discussed having the date of March 3rd and having it 3-3. We thought that was a very satisfying date. So I'm really excited for the next 24 hours.
Very excited. We have lots of different shows. We have a lot of collectives who have sent in stuff. We have a lot of... radio shows that are student-led at UBC and here at CITR that are also submitting shows for today and for this event. And then we also have people who are just dropping in for a couple hours during the day to say hello, maybe to promote a club, maybe to just chat on the air, maybe to just tell you a little bit about being a student here at UBC and, of course, being a contributor to CITR. Sweet home.
You're doing a show, Tristan, tomorrow.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'm doing a show at 10 p.m. It's been a long time since I've been on air. I mean, last time technically was just doing a show for a fun drive, but that was pre-recorded.
Nice.
So being live on air, it's been a while.
Oh, it's so exciting.
I'm super excited to do it. I'm just going to play some music that I've heard recently that I really like. But otherwise, nothing special.
That's exciting. Is there one song in particular that you can think of that we have to look forward to? Or do you want to keep it all a surprise?
I'm going to keep most of it a surprise. But there's some Thundercat I've been waiting to play.
Nice.
So definitely. Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
10 p.m. That's a great slot.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was happy I got it.
Snagged it.
I feel like it's not too late, but it's also not like during the day. So it's like prime time.
Very accurate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what are you doing tomorrow, Valley?
I'm doing the fun drive. Oop. Wrong event. Fun drive is also great, though. Yeah, I know. You texted me.
Fun drive.
You texted me being like,
it's
fun drive. Yeah. 24 hours of student power, everyone. But I'm doing the 24 hours of student power finale tomorrow at 11 p.m. for those of you who want to tune into that as well. And then I'm pretty sure, do you have the schedule with you?
Yeah.
Maybe we can read out some
I
of
do.
The
I can
some of the people.
Up.
I know that I'm back at 4. Chatting with my friend Marisha. We have I don't wanna like over promise and under deliver, but we have the funniest story. Like, so me and my friend Marisha had the weirdest first meeting. And it's just like it was a bit of a shit show, to be honest, but it's just such a funny story now looking back at it, now that we're like good friends.
Nice.
So we're going to be chatting about that. I think that's at 4 o'clock. And then, and then I'm back for the finale. My synchronized swimming team is recording our first copy of Nationals tomorrow. So that's the big
that's
thing
exciting.
That's happening as well.
Yeah, really
so. Lots happening tomorrow, actually.
Yeah.
Well, today. Actually, today, I guess.
I know.
Today.
Yeah.
I never know what to call it, like Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of this
still
weird
nighttime.
Yeah, weird time limbo.
True.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, Violet? Yeah. When are you back in the stew?
I'm back in the stew. Yeah, I've got a couple of things coming up in the early morn. I have a show with my friend Juliet that we're labeling Friendship Across Faculties, because I'm in arts and she's in engineering, and I think that's a very unlikely duo. Yeah. So we talk about the difference of what we study and what we think about that, and a little teaser here. I sometimes will lie about what I study because I fear the judgment that people kind of like look down on people in art.
What do you study in art?
I study film studies and creative writing. Yeah.
Nice.
And she's a civil engineer. Mm. Well, she's not a civil engineer, but she studies civil engineering. Soon to be,
soon
maybe.
To be civil engineer, yeah.
And she told me that she sometimes lies about what she studies. And she's lied about it in the past, which is so shocking
that
to me.
That is very shocking.
What she said that she, like, is.
She said she was a psychology student.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. It was so surprising. But you'll have to tune in to hear more.
Yeah. What time is that
at? That's at 6 a.m.
Ooh, nice. So, if you're driving to work in the morning, you can listen to that.
True.
If you're driving to work, though, at 6 a.m., I hope that you're asleep right now. I hope you're not listening literally to us. Like, go to bed.
That was what I was thinking. It's like, I don't know who I'm pitching this to right now, because if you're up right now, you're not going to be up in time to listen
people
to this.
People night shifts.
Yeah.
They may be up now. Going to work now. Going to bed. Then.
Have a great night at work. Listen to this on your way home.
Probably the best, like, radio content of all time for people with night shifts right now.
That's cool. I would never have thought. I was like, like, people aren't awake like at 4 a.m.
True. And then immediately after that, I'm doing a show with my friend Sasha, who is one of the alumni exec here at CITR. And we are going to do a show about UBC articles. We're going to pick out three different articles each, and then we're going to kind of like explain them to each other and discuss them.
There's an article that I saw on the UBC once. It was like a book launch about like multiculturalism or something. The writer was like Valu.
Wait, what?
I wrote an article for the UBC
once.
Oh,
my gosh.
Trying to pitch myself.
Wait, what was it about?
It's it was a book launch by the head of the Northern and Eastern European Studies department at UBC. Very, 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 like, very nice person.
Yeah, you interviewed them?
I interviewed him, and we, like, spoke about his takes on multiculturalism, and he like speaks like he's from America. He might be from, no, I don't think he's from Philadelphia. He's from somewhere that's like gives those vibes, like maybe like Minnesota or something.
Okay. Valley's saying this because I'm from Philadelphia, and moments ago Valley was just confessing that she didn't even know Philadelphia existed.
Now
you're like, oh, it was like a Philadelphia vibe.
Yeah, like
you don't know what a Philadelphia vibe
well,
is.
I feel like there are
just
three. They've just been introduced to the vibes. There are like three tiers of like American vibes. There's like the ones that I know
I would love to
very
hear this.
Well, which is like New York,
yeah,
like San Francisco, LA, like that you like see on the news, that you like hear about, that like being
valid.
From like Eastern Africa, like I've heard of those places.
Right.
Then there's the places where you've like heard of and that like aren't really, well, I don't want to be mean, but like that aren't like, you
listen,
know,
you're
like,
talking to two Americans here. Watch what you say.
Places that are like, that people don't really know exist, but not because, like, not in a good or a bad way.
There's only two tiers?
No. There's third one.
What's the third?
Third one is, like, places that know exist, but that, like, you would never want to go to.
Yeah.
Like Georgia or, like...
It's, like, where my family's from, like, on my mom's side.
Where's your family
Tennessee,
from?
Like...
Alabama.
Yeah, there you go.
Bama.
Yeah,
I had a roommate from Bama.
Yeah, Bama's interesting. My mom, when she turned 18, she ran away. She was like, I'm not staying here. And she went all the way to SF.
Yeah.
Wow. And never looked back, apparently.
Never looked back.
Oh, my goodness.
No, she did stay there for a few years for, like, college and stuff, but then she got out.
Yeah. I feel like so many Americans I know here, especially, like, just randomly have family in the South. Even if they didn't grow up in the South, they have family in the South. It's very interesting.
There's a lot of like, once they get, like, some people just, like, I don't know. They take off. And it's weird because my mom has siblings in the South, and they stayed. And like, same age and stuff, but they just decided to stay. I don't know. My mom was kind of like the odd one out and just decided to go.
That's
brave. That is
brave,
yeah. Especially if you're the only one.
Yeah.
My uncle lives in Texas.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So look at that.
Not even American, and I've got family in the South. So.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. I had a stopover in Dallas once, and it was like a day, and my uncle came to pick me up and he was like, what do you want to do today? And I was like, all I want is a cowboy hat.
Aww.
But like a proper cowboy hat.
Yeah.
This poor man drove me literally around the entire city of Dallas for like 6 hours trying to find like a proper cowboy hat, because we couldn't find any anywhere
readily available.
Nope.
I feel like you could literally, like, snatch them off of someone's head.
Nope.
I've actually never been to Texas, though, so maybe I'm making
assumptions. And it was, like, also, like, the city of Dallas, so maybe that's why.
Really?
But it was, like, like, a long time.
That's
but it was also
surprising.
During, like, the FIFA World Cup. So we got to, like, stop in a few places and just, like, watch a game.
That's
and
fun.
Then it was actually a lot of fun. It was very nice.
Look at us hating on the South. And then there you go, giving such
it.
A lovely... Yeah, and then loving on it. I love that. Yeah.
It's got some good food.
Oh, my gosh.
Definitely.
It really does.
New Orleans? Oh,
I was
going to
say, I've heard, like, Louisiana has, like, good
some of the best food in the South there.
Like,
yeah.
What? Like,
alligator.
Oh, really?
Alligator? Have you had it?
I've had alligator.
What's it like?
It's really interesting. It's kind of like a class of its own. Mm.
Is it chewy?
It's chewy. It's got a similar texture, at least from, like, when I've tried it to chicken, because I've had it, like, fried and stuff. But it's... You can also get sausages of it. So it's
really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder, like, if it's so good, why
is it
not more
spread?
Common?
Yeah. Well, I feel like other... I don't know. This might be a stupid question, but, like, are there a lot of, like, alligators?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there are?
Yeah.
So they could just, like...
You can, like, go on an airboat through the bayou, and, like, I went on one once down there, and they brought, like, a bag of marshmallows. You could just throw them at the alligators, and they would eat them.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
My family's taken some trips to Florida, and there's so many alligators.
Too many in
Florida. And it's, it's, like, very much like a tourist attraction to, like, go and, like,
memes.
You know. I, like, have a picture of myself in, like, a really awkward preteen phase of my life with, like, a, like, side braid when that was all the rage and, like, really ugly sunglasses holding, like, a baby alligator.
Aww.
In Florida.
That's cute.
In Florida, baby. Only in Florida.
Only in Florida. That's so funny. Yeah. They kind of scare me, honestly. I don't think...
That's fair.
Because I've seen, like, crocodiles, but... Like,
they're very
far away
looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but always, like, you know, they were always, like, over there.
Yeah.
I don't, like...
I wouldn't recommend getting
close to them. Close to them, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of like sharks, right? They, like, catch you and then they, like, drown you.
They
pull you down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not
a big fan.
I haven't really thought about how they would go
That's
about.
How they, yeah, they, like, clamp you.
They do so, yeah.
And then they just drown
gosh.
You, basically.
And then... eat you. Yeah.
Good to know.
I have a move that I can do in the water, which I call the tornado. And it's basically me just going like round and round. And my friend said that would be very useful if I ever got caught by an alligator.
I love that you're prepared for this scenario.
I'm so prepared.
Despite having like encountered anything
not
close to
anything.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm always ready.
I'll have to keep you around
next
time I'm in Florida.
I can teach you the tornado if you want. Free classes, everyone. UBC Fountain. Come and find me 12 p.m.
Oh, giving lessons. Are you going to charge or is it free? Or like what's going on?
I think it's free the first time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get it after the first time and I have to reteach you, then it's like $200.
Oh my lord.
Oh yeah. It's this is saving your
life. It's life or death, to be fair. Yeah.
It's either learn the tornado with me or get eaten by an alligator. Like, it's your choice, you know?
Very interesting.
Yeah. No big deal. I'm here for the people. I'm just trying to spread the word.
Shall we listen to some tunes?
We'd love to listen to some tunes.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
I have two songs queued up. Okay. One of which is called Dead of Night by Orville Peck, which was in Euphoria. And I recently added it to my liked songs, whatever. And I've been listening to it a lot recently, and it's really good. It's if anyone watches Euphoria, it's the scene where Nate is driving Cassie for the first time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Ugh. And then the next one is a very different vibe. And it's He's a Rebel by the Crystals.
Ooh. He's a rebel. Cool. Yeah. Very excited. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1. Hit it.
Sun goes down another dreamless night. You're right by my side. You wake me up. You say it's time to ride. In the dead of night, strange canyon road, strange look in your eyes. You shut them as we fly. As we fly, Stark Hollow Town, Carson City Lights. Baby, let's get high, spend Johnny's cash, hitch another ride. We laugh until we cry. You say go fast, I say hold on tight. Boys.
I love those songs. I really like the first one. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
It's so good. It's so good. Addicting.
It is a very addicting song. It reminds me, like, also maybe because of the scene. So for people maybe in the audience or even in the studio who haven't necessarily watched this TV show, the scene is very much like they're driving and it's a very... Like, he's driving and he's, like, drinking and, like, looking over very, like...
Flirty, shall we say.
Yeah, and she's, like, sticking her head out the window and her hair's, like, dancing in the wind and she's, like, carefree and, like, haha. It's, like... And it gives me very much the same vibes of that scene in Perks of Being a Wallflower where Emma Watson is in the back of the pickup truck and she's like, we are...
Yeah. I feel like it's just way more sinister because...
Oh, yeah. Because he's
the villain.
Person. Yeah.
And also he's drinking and driving.
Yeah.
And the girl is, like, his ex-girlfriend's best friend.
Yeah.
So it's, like, a really messed up version of that. But I still understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Like, the lights, like,
and,
floating
like,
past. And, like, yeah, the really, like... groovy song.
Yeah, and
it sounds aesthetic.
Yeah.
It is. It's a very aesthetic.
If there's anything that Euphoria is, it's very aesthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you ever been tempted to watch Euphoria?
The thing is, I'm like not huge on TV, but it's not even anything like me trying to avoid it. I just like I don't find the time, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I don't know. Like I'm definitely interested. Like, there's a lot of TV shows I need to get caught up on that have gone through, like, everybody being like, oh, my God. And, like, I'm just like, I'm not going to try to find spoilers.
Yeah.
But, like, if I hear them, it's whatever.
So, like, well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no spoilers. Okay.
No spoilers.
Oh, my gosh. We were sitting, a bunch of exec were sitting in the lounge the other day talking about the finale of season 2 of Euphoria. And then, finally, Natalie, the volunteer exec, chimes in and was like, spoiler alert. And we were like, have you not seen it yet? We talked about all the major plot points at this point.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I haven't watched season 2 yet. And I was like, no, why didn't you say something?
Yeah.
Oh, it was
so bad.
She's like, I don't care. It's going to get spoiled for me anyways.
Yeah, that is fair.
I felt bad, though.
Yeah, I would.
Do you have a favorite TV show as someone who doesn't really watch TV very much?
So my girlfriend has turned me on to a lot of TV, especially in the past, like, few months.
Mm-hmm.
She turned me on to Avatar Last Airbender, which I had not seen before.
That is good,
and
yeah.
I was like, I loved it
immediately.
B99. I had not watched B99.
Yeah, that's funny.
Loved B99.
Yeah. I've never heard that abbreviation for it before.
Brooklyn 99 for people. But yeah.
Yeah, my roommate is obsessed with Brooklyn 99, but I've never seen it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
It's very like slapstick, like comedy vibes.
Yeah.
But they also like do a very
good job
of dealing with some very...
Especially recently.
Intense,
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Oh, really?
Because obviously it's about, like, police officers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then there was a lot of criticism, rightfully so, about, like, the police force and police brutality and all of this stuff. And, again, no spoilers. And also, I haven't seen it. But, like, it seemed like they addressed that within the show, which was, like...
Yeah.
From what I heard, a really interesting choice.
So I watched the last season was filmed in like 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So prime, I guess, time to talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it was the best last season I've ever seen of a show.
Wow.
Really?
Last season? Wow. Like, it's done now?
It's done. Yeah.
It was very well written, and it ends on, I'm not going to say what kind of note, but it's a it's a note that I was very satisfied with.
Yeah.
That's extremely rare for a TV show.
Right?
I thought
it was going to fizzle out or something.
Yeah.
It either
gets cut too quickly
or too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a really successful show, it tends to just, like, go on and it just kills it, you know? So I'm happy for
B99.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite TV show, Valerie?
Yeah.
My favorite TV show, probably, I'm kind of the opposite of Tristan. I consume television like nobody's business. Mm. I started Chicago Fire probably
last.
It's like, It's like firefighters in Chicago.
What?
Yeah, it's literally just a show about firefighters.
I'm obsessed.
And there's like Chicago Med, which is the medical side of it, and the Chicago PD, which is like the intelligence force. And so I started Chicago Fire quite recently, and I'm on season 5, I believe.
Are there a lot of fires in Chicago?
According to this, yeah. Well, one of my friends' dad used to be a firefighter in Detroit, and I've heard stories about that. So, and I feel like the cities are quite like, because they're quite close together, right?
Yeah.
So I feel pretty close.
Look Midwest. At you knowing Midwest. American yeah, no, geography.
Yeah. I'm so impressed. I basically am American, at this point. But yeah, so. I don't know. Favorite TV show is difficult because I think I definitely went through stages in my life where I was like, Glee is the best television show to ever exist. And now I look back and I'm like, probably not the best television show to ever exist. But I think at the moment.
Yeah, it's of an era.
It's of an, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like 13, 14 year old me was like, Glee and Sherlock was the most incredible thing, and Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel
To be fair, I feel like I would really. I haven't rewatched Doctor Who in a while, but I feel it would hold up.
We should.
I'd be down.
The OA, I think, is I can say my favorite. The what OA and that? Sense8.
Yeah, what is the OA?
The best. Okay.
The OA.
So. It's this woman who, this girl disappears and then comes back as this woman, and she, has a near-death experience and then has, I don't want to say, powers, but she can, see things and, feel things. And then she finds and teaches this group of kids to, go through time, I guess, and to manipulate time, but they all get kidnapped by the guy who plays Lucius Malfoy in Harry Potter, and he keeps them in this basement and tortures them and experiments on them.
Oh, God.
And then he manipulates her and manipulates all these people, and it's it's a crazy show.
Yeah,
it's my explanation did it zero justice, but it's such a beautifully done.
Interesting.
I'm not sure about you, Tristan, but I think you Violet.
Yeah, it might be
harder
to get
would,
into.
Yeah, I think you would love it. Okay. It's such.
You have to give it a chance.
I'd be super down to watch an episode or two to see how you feel. But it's so they thought this out so much. The amount of detail and the amount of thought that goes into every second of that show is incredible.
Yeah, it is really nice to see a film or a TV show where you can just see how much thought was put into it and how much care that the creators of that TV show or film or whatever. But I think it's particularly impressive for a TV show because there's a lot of material there.
Yeah.
Even if it's just one season, that's still a lot of content. Yeah. And it's more characters that you have to get in depth with and all of that stuff. So it is really gratifying when, the creators of those shows kind of come through, and it's really frustrating when they don't.
Well, I mean, even Euphoria that we were talking about, there's been a lot of
criticism.
This season because a bunch of the stuff that they did in the first season just got forgotten or never brought up again, and there's
weird.
So many plot points that just disappeared.
So there's no consistency.
It's a very aesthetic show, and some of the storylines are very, very consistent, and some of them are really thought out, but then you get to the end of the season, especially now that it's the second season, and you look back and you're like, oh, all the things that they left us guessing at the end of season one that they were that's going to be the main thing in the next season, just never got brought up.
Oh, it's kind of, it's just disappointing, I guess.
Yeah,
it is
disappointing,
and it has such a dedicated fan base, such a dedicated fan base that I think it's really let the fans down in a lot of ways, because the fans are smart. Like, they're picking up on the little cues that they're seeing. Yeah. But it's been interesting this season as well, because there's been a lot of rumors about scenes getting cut because of certain actors not feeling comfortable with some of the scenes. So I think that may have played a role in why we didn't have much follow-up with some of the characters' storylines and things like that.
Or even the creator having, like, beef with some of the actors and just, like,
taking
the scenes out. Like,
Yeah, this is turning into the Euphoria show.
Yeah, sorry. television, television critics.
It's the TV collective.
It's the TV collective.
That's fun. A fun idea.
That is a fun idea. Yeah. Like, film collective, TV collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Film Collective show, guys.
There kind of is a Film Collective show. There's The Real World.
Really?
Yeah. And they talk about movies and films and stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't know
when their show airs.
No.
But I think that a separate one dedicated to just TV would be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Should we play a few more songs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tristan
has our next couple songs.
Okay, yeah. Next song's coming up. First one is The High Road by Broken Bells. This group I've gotten back into lately because when I was a kid, my parents used to play like a CD mix of this group in the car. So when I rediscovered it when I was like 13, I was like, ah, screw that. Like, it's my parents' music. But now I listen to it, and I don't know if you guys know Danger Mouse. He's like a huge producer behind a lot of like very famous tracks.
I think I heard the name.
He's very behind the scenes, but he was one of the two people in this duo, and I just love his instrumental work. And I was like listening to it now, and I'm like, oh my god, he's a genius. Like, I love this album.
Nice.
So I've gotten back into it. Next one is Necessary Evil by Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Nice.
Just a solid track.
Yeah.
Solid group.
I love the parent CD backstory for The High Road. Yeah. That's really sweet. I have some really, really like fond nostalgic memories of like the CDs that I just like had in the house that I grew up listening to because my parents
were such
had.
A vibe. Mm.
Yeah, they really were. Looking back on them, like, they're so impractical, but at the same time, there's something like very sweet and nostalgic about them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All
Wonderful.
Right.
Very excited.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Let's do it. We're bound to wait all night. She's bound to run a mile. Invested enough in it anyhow. To each his own. The garden is sorting out. She curls her lips on a bough. I don't know if you're dead or not. If you anyone. Come on and get the meeting run. Before you open up your eyes. There's only you serving in hands. To analyze.
lost, be your guide. Just a bit too close.
you picked out some good ones.
Thank
for
you.
Us.
I appreciate it.
Very
especially
enjoyable.
That first one. I really liked.
Yeah.
I'm noticing a trend. I really like the first songs.
And the second one's trash.
Yeah, garbage. Such a that waste just of my mid. Time. Yeah. Nah, I did enjoy. Mm. I did enjoy those.
Yeah, it's always. Yeah. I was just going to say it's fun to see what other people's music taste okay. is. That's like one of my favorite parts of like working at a radio station is like mm-hmm. you definitely get to know everyone's yeah. music taste very quickly, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. very cool.
Agreed. Well, do we want to do CITR or do we want to do fun icebreaker questions?
Let's do a little CITR moment.
CITR.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Get that going.
How did you guys get involved?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I actually got involved through Jen Moss's podcasting class originally. Shout out. Jennifer Moss is a professor here at UBC. And I took her podcasting class and part of it, it's a creative writing class and you have to become a member of CITR. I'd always wanted to join CITR, but I was always very intimidated by it. And it was really just the push that I needed. So I became a member, I got trained, created a podcast for the class, and then was really happy with the podcast. So I ended up submitting it to be aired on radio and started developing a relationship with one of the former staff members here, Alex DeBoer. And she was really supportive, and I started getting pretty close with her. And then I was asked to join the student executive team in second semester because the spoken word student exec was leaving because I think they had too much on their plate or something like that. So I was asked to join, and then I did, and the rest is history. I'm really happy that I took that class and it pushed me to join because I think I'm not alone in experiencing this thing of being like, oh, I'm so intimidated, but I really want to get involved and not really knowing how to go about it. So I'm really glad that it happened for me.
That's great that UBC has some classes that like push towards this.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad we have that support. And
100%.
That students are at least like given another way to get involved.
Yeah. It's really cool as an exec member to be giving like tours or trainings and to like firsthand ask students like how they found out or community members to be fair, but especially students I personally interact with, figuring out like how they got to the point of joining CITR and why they're interested. Like I don't know how you guys feel if you've had those interactions, but I really enjoy that.
Definitely. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I actually connected with someone who's in one of my classes because she was doing production training with me. And then she just, she was getting drinks at the place that I worked today. And I think we might be friends now.
Aww. That's so pure.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I love moments like that.
Yeah. How about you, Tristan? How did you get involved originally?
So I've been looking at CITR from a distance, like since I came to UBC, because I used to do radio work in San Francisco.
Cool.
I used to be a show host there.
Cool.
And yeah, and I've been wanting to have a show here. And finally, in my second year, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start going to the trainings. I'm going to commit. And I showed up to one of my trainings and nobody was here. And then I was like, oh, it's March 14th. And then it was done.
Oh, no.
And yeah, COVID hit. So I went back to the States and kind of just regrouped with my family.
Yeah.
And that kind of like put my plans off to a side. But I was back in fall of last year. And the only place I could go to like study was the Boulevard, which is like this sweet little coffee shop on campus.
Shout out.
And through them, I met Adam and Aaron, and
aww.
Aaron works here.
Yeah.
And Aaron and I would just talk about CITR. He's like, yeah, I work there and stuff. And I was like, oh, man, I've wanted to get involved. And he's like, you should. It was always this back and forth. And then one day he was like, exec opportunities are coming up. Like, you should, like, seriously consider it. And I was like,
aww.
Okay. So I applied for a few positions, and then
that's
I got
so
directly
sweet.
Involved. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Oh, it's nice.
Very glad he got me back in.
It's nice to like have a person you're like, okay, I know you. You're on the inside and you're going to help me once I get there. Like,
100%.
That's really sweet to hear. Yeah, shout out. Aaron is our student exec president this year, alongside Maya, our vice president at student exec, and they will both be doing things for 24 Hours of Student Power.
That's right.
Coming up later on.
Yeah.
Today, technically.
Yeah.
Valerie, how'd you get involved?
Well, funnily enough, the reason that I stayed at CITR was also Aaron.
Aww. Really?
Literally, yeah. I joined CITR as a member end of my first year and then was extremely intimidated by everyone at the station and was like, I'm not getting involved with this. Like, everyone's super cool and I'm not cool enough. So I like stopped coming. Like, I had only like come in like once or twice.
I feel like it's like everyone's first impression. Sad.
Yeah, it is sad. We don't bite, you know? No. It's very chill. But then I came back in summer of second year and I was like, you know what? Like, whatever. I might feel intimidated, but it's the summer, so no one's on campus.
Mm.
So I might as well just go now that there's no one there.
That's smart.
Yeah.
So I started, coming in. I started getting involved with the, music collective during that year, just as, I would come to a couple, Friday afternoons and just, hang out with people. So that was, a good transition. But I was like, yeah, I really want to get on the air, solo.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, you know what? I did all the trainings and I was like, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do a fill-in. So I show up and I'm, sitting in the lounge, right out here. And I'm on in 15 minutes and I'm sitting there and I start getting so stressed out and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm on in 20 minutes and I cannot remember for the life of me how to use the soundboard. And I'm like, I am so stressed. And I went up to someone and I was like, help me. And they were like, oh, sorry, it's too late. There's nothing that can happen. You're on your own. And I was oh my gosh. And then I looked over and Aaron was doing a fill-in show right before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to ask this random guy if he is okay with staying 5 minutes after his show and telling me how to switch on the microphone. And I was like, even if I can't play music, I'm just going to talk for an hour. Yeah. You know, whatever. As long as I can turn on the mic, otherwise it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I come in after his show and he's like, hi, it's nice to meet you. And I was like, super awkward. Could I ask you to stay behind for 10 minutes? I'm really sorry. And he was like, oh yeah. And he showed me how to use the soundboard completely. He even lent me his adapter so that I could plug in my phone and play
That's
music
so sweet.
On my phone. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to become a permanent part of this.
Shout out
definitely.
Aaron for retaining two of not only our members, but
the
our
execs
very,
as well.
Yeah, our execs. Student execs. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, definitely the reason that I was I'm not terrified being on the air. So,
awesome. I'm sure at the time for both of us, he had no idea.
Yeah.
He
oh,
was
no,
gonna
he was
create
just being
that.
Nice.
He was,
Dude's
very chill. He's very sweet. Yeah.
Very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out, Aaron.
All right. So I have two songs queued up. The first one is by a band called Spiritualize that's been around for a while. They're a very good band, and they are very soon. Well, it got extended, unfortunately, but they're coming out with a new album. Which if you want to read a review about it, I mean, I may have written one
little plug,
but it's not out yet. So just keep an ear out for that. But I wrote this review and this band is crazy. Their instrumentals, collaboration, the lead of the band, played 16 instruments on this album. They're dedicated to this craft, incredibly so. And the outro, or the closing song, I guess, of the album is 10 minutes long. And for those of you who like this band, like, you are in for the biggest treat ever. It is so incredible. I was listening to it and I was like, this is, like, I hadn't heard of this band before.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing.
Right.
But they've released two singles off of the album already, mm-hmm. and one of them is this song called Crazy, which is a little bit of a twangy country song, actually.
Mm.
But it is such a beautiful love song, mm. and it is so beautifully, tragically sad. And I love sad, beautiful songs. And both of the songs that I'm playing are actually quite sad, beautiful mm. songs. But Crazy, and there are lyrics in it that I absolutely adore that I can't wait for you to listen to. And then the second one is I'm Tired from Euphoria as well. And when they first released it, before Labyrinth took it down, Zendaya wasn't on it.
Mm.
Now they've re-released it and Zendaya's on it. And I would like to hear from you both if you think that her little feature
mm-hmm.
is necessary or if you think that the song could have been
by itself,
kept yeah. as it was.
Interesting. Okay.
So here is Crazy by Spiritualized, followed by I'm Tired by Labyrinth featuring Zendaya.
Hello, you know I'm tired. Hey Lord, you know I'm tired. Hey Lord, you know I'm tired of tears. Hey Lord, just cut me loose. Hey Lord, you know I'm fighting. Hey Lord, you know I'm fighting. I'm sure this world is done with me. Hey Lord, you know it's true. Now the tide is rolling in.
Hey Lord, you know I'm trying.